All right, welcome back to episode 48 of the 5-Minute Major podcast of STL, presented by Across the Board. We are joined by St. Louis native, dual athlete, field hockey and ice hockey, with tons of accolades that we'll get into here in a bit, 2025 PWHL draft pick of the New York Sirens, McKenna Webster. Welcome on. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. She is fitting us into her very busy schedule, as we said, a dual sport athlete. So for those of you struggling to do one sport, she is doing two. So she is on it, and we're going to kind of let her introduce herself. So just introduce yourself. Welcome on.
Yeah. Again, I'm McKenna Webster. From St. Louis, born and raised, left a little early to go to Shattuck St. Mary's for ice hockey, and then went to Wisconsin, played 2 years ice hockey, and then transferred to Ohio State, where found the love of playing two sports, field hockey and ice hockey there.
That's awesome. So you said you moved to Shattuck. What was it like hopping over there to play hockey? That's like jumping into the fire of hockey right there.
Yeah, so coming from St. Louis, I played on the boys' teams all growing up. When I was playing, I was also allowed to play the girls' team. So I was playing about 10 games a weekend, playing for both teams, practicing twice a day every night with both teams. But so it was great. It was just tough. My last years of getting older, we didn't have many girls to make teams, sadly, so decided to go to Shattuck St. Mary's, basically a hockey school. So it was great. It's great transition. And also my brother, he went with me as well, and he grew up playing for the Junior Blues.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's, I was gonna ask, so how did you get into hockey? Like, did your dad or mom play hockey growing up, or was it just like, I want to play hockey and let's do it?
Yeah, so my dad played D1 football and my mom played softball at Texas. And then, so they played all these different sports. They didn't even know what ice hockey was. My mom grew up in Miami. My dad grew up in Ohio. So my cousin started playing in Indiana, another state that hockey's not too big in. And then my brother started playing and I was like, gosh, I mean, I'm going to have to start playing too. But I started with figure skating with all the makeup and dresses and decided that that wasn't for me. Even my dad was like, yeah, we're done with this. We're putting on ice skates. So, and then after that, I just been playing ice hockey since.
That's crazy.
Did you have like any aspirations in staying in St. Louis before you left, or like as a kid, were you like, oh, I don't want to leave my hometown? And but you kind of just had to do it for the betterment of like you yourself, right? Or
right. It was just kind of at a point in my life. It's like I need to find a way to keep improving. I was getting to the age I was playing with boys, and I'm 5'2". So when it was the time where I stopped growing, and then the boys started growing. That summer before I went to Shattuck, it was our checking. It was the time of the year, my age, we started checking. I did one tournament. I've never been so targeted. They're just like, let's hit the girl that's still 5'2". So that was just another reason. I just wanted to keep improving my skills. And at Shattuck, you're playing with and against the best players in the country and in Canada as well, and like a few Europeans. So I think it was the right choice. If I kept playing boys, it wouldn't have gone well.
I have no doubt. So what was it like moving to Shattuck? Like, I know they're known for hockey. So like, it's a boarding school kind of, right?
Right.
Okay. So was hockey basically built into your school time while you were there?
Yeah. So how I explain it, basically, so I went with my brother. That was obviously nice to have him there. But, yeah. Your brother doesn't want your little sister running around, but it was great going with him. I went in eighth grade, so I was the only eighth grader on the team on U16. I was around 12, 13 at the time. And it was funny because I had about like 15 people in my grade. It was basically me, two ice hockey guys, and the rest were the teachers, like kids, and basically that was it. But it was different, but it was a great experience and it really pushed your limits. And then going off our normal day, it was wake up, go to hockey practice, go to school, and then go do a skill session, go back to school, do another skill session, go back to school or be done for the day, do goalie world, and then go to workout. It was basically like we were on the ice. Like I was on the ice more than I was studying, that's for sure.
That's awesome though. I have to say, if you love hockey, that's like the ideal situation, especially as a 15, 16, 17 year old where you're like, man, I just get to focus on hockey. What I would have given for that in high school. Good Lord. You put up some crazy numbers at Shattuck. You had a 103 point season. I don't know if you remember that. So you played 60 games, put up 47 goals and 56 assists.
Just that's not so bad, you know.
I mean, just like
Mitch Marner numbers.
Yeah, your lowest point season was 60, and I'm like, you're over a point per game. So that is a really great stat line you got going there. So when you made the jump to college, were you getting recruited by multiple schools? How did you kind of go about your pathway of going to college?
Yeah. So I think kind of the time all growing up, Wisconsin, Minnesota, like BC at the time, like those were the schools like everyone wanted to go to, winning national championships. And I had my eyes set on Wisconsin, like the closest at that time D1 program to St. Louis, like being close to home. Like that's not a lot of like a lot of my teammates, people, a lot of them go to schools based on their states closest to you, like St. Louis. We just, it was basically Wisconsin. There was Lindenwood 5 years later, but Wisconsin, they were winning national championships. It was the place I wanted to be, like my idols growing up, like Breonna Decker. She went to Shattuck, then went to Wisconsin. I'm like, I want to be like her and make the Olympic team, like do everything she's doing. I'm like, Wisconsin will make me there. And like having a legendary coach like Mark Johnson, like you watch the Miracle on Ice movie and it's like, he literally won the game, and it's like I could sit in the locker room and he could be yelling at me. I'm like, what's better than that? I decided to go there. And I think, too, like some backstory with that, I think my junior and senior – and this is where you could commit whenever, whatever age. Like I came to my eighth grade year, so I was 13 years old, and I decided where I was going to college. Like I'm glad it's moved up. I was the first in my year to commit. I'm not sure about – other sports or like statistics with that, but I was way too young. But it was my dream school, closest to St. Louis. But then my junior and senior year, I kind of was like, had the opportunity to play two sports in college. And thinking about it, I had a lot of conversations, like coaches reaching out before I signed any papers, anything with that. So that was my mind, but I was like, no, I can't play two sports. Like I need to make this next Olympics, which my eyes were set, went to the camp, was on like the 35-man roster, obviously got cut, didn't go. But it's like at my age, being that young, it was like, did I make the right decision not playing both sports? But then after that, kind of falling back in the U.S. program, it's like, then I went to Ohio State and played two sports. And then now I have all these opportunities. So I've had a lot of great opportunities, a lot of hard decisions, but still trying to find the right ones.
I mean, you matured so quickly with that. Like, picking a college at 13 sounds mind-boggling to me. I was just sitting in my basement playing video games. Like,
yeah, I wasn't even thinking about what college I wanted to go to at 13. And you were like, yep, Wisconsin, I'm going to go play hockey. Good Lord.
I mean, and you played unreal. Like, you've had your whole college career. You won a national championship, right? In Wisconsin, you know, the most outstanding player that year too. And then you go to Ohio State, like you said, even more opportunity, win another national championship, like you're killing it. But what was it like finally balancing those two sports at like the highest college, collegiate level?
Yeah, like I would say, obviously, so decided to play both, obviously went to Ohio State. My first year is definitely taken back. I'm like, okay, this is hard. Like I knew what I signed up for. I knew the challenges. A little tough on kind of missing out on team things, not being there the whole time. First year, kind of understanding how my body is. Like I was practicing hours a day.
Yeah.
Like the limit I had at NCAA, I was hitting that no matter what. And that's still like not me putting in extra work. My body is just, it went through a lot, but it's like, I love that. Like, I love the grind. I wouldn't take it back in any way. And then by my second year, I kind of understood the workload, like everything I need to do to be like strong, be a hybrid in both sports, like skating, like body for skating, body for running, completely different. Like you see ice hockey players, you see soccer players, like it's not, they're different. And kind of just being hybrid with that, and really our strength coaches, athletic trainers, coaches working together to find kind of a program that I do to allow me to be successful in both. And I think it showed my second and third year at Ohio State playing both. Definitely had a better year in both of them, just like having the confidence, I would say.
I was going to say, like, that attests to Ohio State, especially having those athletic trainers, because I have to imagine that process of them figuring out the balance for you and like keeping you healthy through both seasons has to be a challenge. And also the tax on your body, which I know you say you love the grind, but I'm sure your body by the end of it, like, do you give yourself a time off ever? Cause like it, I mean, at this point you're going year round and you're training. And now that the PWHL is coming, like when do you take a break and what do you do for a break for yourself?
Yeah. Really? So honestly, the last 3 years, like there was no break, because usually a lot of dual sport athletes play like a fall and spring sport. So I basically played a fall ice hockey's fall, winter, spring, basically. It goes through all the months with that. So I would be playing 3 games in a weekend, like Friday, Sunday, field hockey game, and then Saturday ice hockey, because field hockey season was shorter, less games. And then it went to 1 week. I played 6 games in 9 days. And so it was going on, like I had 1 month, I have to have a day off for NCAA rules, but if I couldn't, I got upset one time because I had a, two Friday, field hockey game, ice hockey game, same day. I called compliance, NCAA coaches involved were like, all right, like, so she's going to play both games on this Friday. So how does her week look to not go over the 20 hours? Yeah. And they're like, she can't play 2 games in 1 day, unfortunately. But like, I was ready to do that. But yeah, so going off that, so I would play field hockey, then play ice hockey. There's a lot of multi-weekend games like with both. And then right after ice hockey, I'd have to take 7 days off for the NCAA. Rules, and then I'd go to spring season for field hockey and go training again and play games, and then it would all start over again. And then I had US camps in the middle of all of it. Like I didn't have any days off. And then so unfortunately, like because of this all happening, I got diagnosed with compartment syndrome in my legs. Yeah.
I was really like in the back of my head, I was like, the stress that you probably have had on your legs.
And my shins, like during field, like it's a funny story, were hurting so bad. And I'm like, okay, shin splints. Like I can't tell anyone I have shin splints. Like that's embarrassing. Like I don't want anyone to know this. And like finally it got like late October, November. I'm like, oh my God, like I can't even like walk off the field right now. It's so bad. And like finally told my dad, I'm like, Dad, like my shins. He's like, yeah, like I had shin splints. Like what? It's fine. They hurt. Like just keep playing. Like totally. He's like thinking I'm like downplaying this. I'm like, okay, yeah, it's just shin splints. Didn't tell my trainers. I was like, yeah, this is embarrassing. He made me think I was like weak. So I'm like, I'm not going to tell anyone. And then eventually I'm like, God, like something's wrong. And I was like, all right, I just want to get x-rays to see if there's stress fractures or whatever. And they finally, like they wouldn't let me until finally they let me. And then I got an MRI completely clear. And I was like, okay, like I'm playing ice hockey season. Like I can't feel my feet. Same field ice season. I couldn't feel my toes, couldn't feel my feet, but I was still playing like whatever. And then finally I was like searching on Google and I was like, God, this compartment syndrome thing, I need to like see what this is. I'm like, I need to get tested. And they're like, okay. This took months because they were like, all right, we don't want to just, this is really rare. And they're like, yeah, we're not going to get you tested, whatever. And then they're like, okay, finally they got me tested. And then I needed the doctor for the football team. And that year, the football team decided to keep going, trying to win national championship. So couldn't get the testing after that. And then literally the moment, the test is, if anyone wants to search up the compartment syndrome test, it's not a fun one. But if you know what it is, they stuck the needles in my shins right away at compartment syndrome without even doing the test. So yeah, so I think it all caught up to me. It was hard during the process. They're like, you're overtraining. Like, that's what everyone was saying to me. And I'm like, yeah, but it's like, I know it's something else. Like, yeah, I'm definitely overtraining way too much, but I love it. But so yeah, I had that. And then, so that's my first time off in my whole 23 years of my athletic time.
That's wild. And goodness. Okay. So with that, do you play with any other athletes that are also playing dual sports? Or are you the only one?
I'm the only one. They have coming in this year a lacrosse and ice hockey player.
Okay.
But that's a more common in East Coast
leagues. I was going to say, I was wondering if there's anyone else on the field hockey team that also played hockey. So I was, you're the only one. Claim to fame.
Yeah.
So with that, was that like a selling point of why you picked Ohio? Is that you were going to be able to do both?
Yeah. Like, so coming out or deciding to be in the portal, I'm like, okay, I'm going to play both. Like, that was basically the main reason. And so when like a school would call me, I'm like, hey, like I'm playing field hockey. And I guess the word got out and very fast, because like teams were calling, like teams that even have ice hockey were calling me. And at this point, I took 2 years off. I didn't even touch a stick for over two years. So I'm like, okay, like this is gonna be a big challenge too, because teams have to have trust that I can be back to where I was or can be a college field hockey player. Cause you know those people that are good, like do well in high school or club leagues, and then it's like college is like a whole new world and it's just a lot different. So too, I had to give trust with that. So I chose Ohio State because obviously Nadine Musraw, I don't know, she's built a program below 500 to win national championship. She's been in the national championship game like 4 out of the 5 years. Like what she has done to the program is unbelievable. And then the field hockey head coach, he was one of my coaches for the U17 field hockey national team. So had a good relationship with him and he had trust and wanted me. And it was just, I wanted to be in a program that wanted me to do both and will allow me to succeed in both. Cause obviously like it's hard, coaches, like they have to work together. Like it's not ideal to have a dual sport athlete, but that's what I was asking. Like, that's why I'm coming place. And I have to find like a place and coaches that allow me to do that.
Yeah.
What was it like being in the portal? Like, I always see people don't like it for like college basketball and all that, like the fans, but like, what's it like as the athlete? I just don't, is it almost like being a free agent?
Yeah, it's just like, it's hard. Like so many people like on the portal. It's like,
yeah,
like, I want to take the portal out. And like too, before I was too, I'm like, God, it would be so interesting if teams didn't have the portal. Like my second year at Ohio State, my first year was the only transfer. The next year there's like 9 transfers, and two throughout the years I was there, the people in front of me, like our whole, there was like 14 of us that were transfers, and it's so, and we won the national championship that year. Yeah. So it's like the transfer team, and everyone was like bashing on our coach. It's like, yeah, you just brought a bunch of transfers, but like, hey, she's doing like what she's allowed to do to build a team. And it's hard because it's like, I was a transfer, but I get it. Like the rules, it's hard. It's like, should they sit out a year? Like so much has changed. Mm-hmm. But it was obviously nice for me because to play 2 sports again, to be able to do that, it's hard. Like I don't know my opinion on the transfer portal, but it definitely has helped many athletes find their place that they want to grow and be successful. That's given a lot of them second chances, but for a like college, like athletics, NCAA, it's like, I don't know what would be the right choice. And I think them adding the shorter amount of time the portal's open has been better.
Yeah. And that's one of those things. Like, I think people forget the aspect of like the athlete's perspective. Like, you're not always running away from something. Like for you, you wanted more opportunity and it was an opportunity. You could play 2 sports again. And I mean, honestly, it worked out. You won another national championship. So I don't think you would take that back for anything. So it's only propelled you in your career and your trajectory has just continued to grow. And I mean, we're seeing you're going to a professional women's league. So it's one of those things where I think you said it perfectly. Like, you did it for the reason that was best for you and your career. And I think at the end of the day, everyone from the outside just needs to understand, like, you're only doing what's best for you in a sport that you love and more opportunity. So, like, I love how you talked about it, and that I think that's spot on. To kind of go from there, what was it like hearing your name get called by the New York Sirens in the draft? Like, I had to be a surreal moment. Did you see, like, think it was coming? Like, did you know where you were going to go? What was this process of the draft like for you?
Yeah, so it was actually pretty crazy. So few months, I want to say after ice hockey, I got named to the U.S. national team for field hockey. And so that was like huge moment. Obviously been working to represent my country on any sport. I mean, yep. And being able to like make that team has been great. And there's a lot of back noise. It's like, okay, she playing field hockey? Is she playing ice hockey? And it's like, so many side conversation going to coaches, and like people were like, yeah, we don't know what the word is. And then finish my ice hockey year, obviously had a decent season. I think I was able to play with the top line, earn my spot back, and missing a lot of games, obviously, so that's tough. So that built me up a lot mentally, because Coach Muzzy, like, she's not going to hand things to you because you're good. Like, you have to earn them. I really respect that. I missed a lot of games. I had to earn my spot back. But going off that, so it was a big question, like, oh, is she entering the draft? Is she entering the draft? And so at first I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to enter the draft because I want to represent my country at LA 28. That's my goal. Yeah. I'm trying to make the Olympic team. And I then had to get surgery, unfortunately. So, got to miss. I was supposed to go to Chile and New Zealand for the U.S. team. Got surgery. Tough. Happens, though. You got to get mentally tough from that. And then had a talk with the U.S. coach. I'm like, hey, people just, like, are saying enter the portal. Or, sorry, not the portal. Sorry, enter the draft. Like, see what happens. Because, like, ice hockey is my love. Like, that's what I committed to college for. That's what I basically focused on my whole life. And field hockey was, like, the side hobby, which turned into like also my main sport, two of my main sports. And so kind of that. And then I'm like, okay, like I have a chance to play a year in the PWHL and then go to LA 28, try to make it. If I get cut, I'll go back to the PWHL. And then after LA 28, then go to the PW after. So that was like all the conversations, mm-hmm. like great conversations, honesty. So I had a lot of honest conversations with coaches of each PWHL team that called me. I was like, hey, what's going on with this? And I was like, this with like my agent and all this stuff. And like, we were having great conversations, and like people were like, this is a win now league. It's like, we want to take players now to win. Like, we don't know if in women's league, if people are going to get pregnant, there's the Olympics going on. People could get hurt, all this stuff. It's like, we want Webster now. And like hearing that too, it's like, that's great to hear, no matter, let's say I'm a technically reserved playing. And so I think a lot of teams kind of step back and we're like, yeah, well, like the first and second rounds, like we're not gonna take Webster just in case, but like in the third, fourth, like if she's there, like we want her because like we want like what I would bring, but they also need to get the best they can, not knowing how long I'd be there for. So those were all the conversations. Great. And like, I actually invited all the field hockey team over, ice hockey team, who's ever in town in the summer. And they all came over. My mom and Coach Muzzy was there on the couch. And then here my name got called as early as it did with all my backgrounds and stuff going on was unbelievable. And like New York, my brother lives in New York. And so it worked out perfect for our parents. But it's just like a program that has a bunch of young girls coming in. And like Casey O'Brien, who I played at Wisconsin with too. And we've always had like this good chemistry being online. So I think we're excited and hopefully be line mates again. But so yeah, my story is very unique. And I think people are spreading noise without hearing me say any of it. Like, this is probably the first time people are going to hear about the background. So like, yeah, take it what it's worth, you know?
No, I'm glad we're able to kind of let you speak to that, because I think in athletics today, it's always like, no, they should do this, they should do this. But like, we kind of forget the person sometimes. And I'm glad we were able to kind of give you that opportunity, because you had a lot going on. Like, you have been balancing so much, like, honestly, since you were picking where you're going to college. Like, this has been a whole lifetime of making so many decisions that are going to dictate your future. And I mean, you're doing great. Like, it's great. But Mikey, if you want the next question out, you can.
Yeah, I can. I have two, actually. I was going to ask how it is traveling internationally with the ice hockey team or field hockey team or whichever one you were playing on. Did you went out of the country, correct? Like,
correct.
A bunch of places.
Yeah, so I made the U18 U.S. ice hockey team three times. And
okay.
We went to Slovakia, Japan, and Russia.
Okay.
That was two golds and a silver medal, so very yes. Well done.
Yes. And then for field hockey, for the U17 national team, I went to Germany.
Okay.
So okay. It was honestly...
You've seen some places, that's awesome.
Yeah, I've seen some places, and I think... it was so unique. It's honestly unique to see the difference between USA ice hockey, USA field hockey too. I'm like, it's very unique how different it is, just due to obviously budget and money. Mm-hmm. But it's so cool. Like, being able to represent your country, like I said this earlier, is like, not many people like get to do that. And it's such an honor, and you have to represent it on your chest. And like it's bigger than yourself. So just doing that is just incredible in itself, but playing with and against, I said this earlier too, is like the best girls in the country, and it makes you grow. You get to see, it makes you better. And being around people's different personalities, leaderships, having different coaches, teach you all these great things. Like when I was a 15-year-old on the U18 team, I had captains like Taylor Heisey was one of my captains. Now she's in the league, and it's like, seeing what she did when I was one of the younger girls. And it's like, she taught me a lot. She made me become a leader when it was my third year, and I was a captain for the younger girls. So it's just so cool. And like, we kind of, there's this bubble, and we all kind of move up to the PWHL and college and the people like together. So, and going on those trips, it's like once in a lifetime experience.
And that's a good kind of segue into my next question. Like, you're talking about leadership. I mean, you sound like a captain, just the way yeah. You talk about other players and yourself and teams and coaches and all that. Like, is that what you're trying to bring to the Sirens when you do play there? Like, what type of player you are? What type of teammate are you? Can you explain?
Yeah. So last season, when I was playing ice and field hockey, I was the captain of both teams. And obviously tough again, not being there all the time. And I think that was a very unique way, and I think I really grew as a leader too. Like, I wasn't perfect all the time. I had my moments where I was pretty upset, pretty down on myself, but it's like, too, you have people around you that need to help you. And I think I've learned so much about being a leader. And then too, my brother, he captain of Denver, brought his team to win a national championship as well. Talked to him, like, I've had great conversations with him sometimes when I'm struggling being a leader. But I think I lead more by example and positivity and energy. I'm not the type of captain that'll sit you down and yell at you. That's why I was always have like a partner in crime. Like, everyone calls me the good cop, and there's like the bad cop. So I was never the bad cop, but kind of learning, like, I could be potentially a bad cop, but I'm the one that wants what's best for the team and will do anything for each other. Or anyone like in the game, in the locker room. With that, I was like, today at dinner, since I'm a little older on the team, the younger girls were teaching me and the coaches the new like lingo on like TikTok and stuff. And then Furta was brought up, and I was like, Furta was kind of for my time. And me explaining it to the coaches, I'm like, it's basically like goalies down, nets open, someone's biggest person's taking a clapper, and you just put your body on the line. It's like for the girls. And I'll just say, like, that's just who I like, that's how I lead, if that makes sense. Like,
no, that,
that makes sense. I was in Ferta. I feel like that's been around forever.
Yeah, that's...
Like... Yeah, I was like, I need that one.
Hey, we're still are there. Like, we're not completely out of it now.
Away. Yeah, never.
Oh man, yeah, I could not imagine, like, especially playing with like some of the younger generation now. Like, it sounds weird saying generation now. It's not like we're that old, but like, it's just a different world for them. Like, I think their trajectory in athletics is different than what we had, and I think the game is ever evolving, and I think. Good, bad, or ugly, I think it just is how sports go. And I think you're probably a wealth of knowledge for them, and they're going to be better for that. I think they're learning how to be a constant, like almost like a professional, because like, I think you handle yourself and the way you present yourself, like we said, like you're very much a captain kind of mindset and things. But we'll wrap up with some two little fun ones here. So you are a St. Louisan, so we got to ask you, where's your favorite place to eat? What's your like a pregame kind of meal ritual or restaurant you're going to pick if you're eating in St. Louis?
That's a good one. And like, granted, like I miss St. Louis. Like, I'll tell everyone like St. Louis is the best place. Like, I'll probably raise my kids there. Like,
yes. Bring them home
of St. Louis and just going to Blues games. But, okay, guys, this might be a hot take, but this is nowhere else. I love Crazy Bowl and wraps. And
so, oh, no, that's great. I support this 100%. Okay. Crazy Bowls and wraps, it's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
All right, have you had Cava anywhere you've been?
Yes.
Okay.
East Coast thing, they have it everywhere we go. We always get it as our team.
I never had Cava until like 2 years ago when I was in Texas. And it like Crazy Bowls is like my number one. But like Cava is like right there. It's like the epitome of like Mediterranean Chipotle, but like fantastic. That
is like so I think Crazy Bowl's gonna be my last meal. Like, I don't know.
Hey, I love it. You never know what you're gonna get. Like, you could get like the stereotypical, like the Hill. I like, and
yeah,
Mike is a Italian through and through and loves the Hill. We are strong advocates. I could see that. So that's always our go-to. We always wonder. Next question, I'll kind of follow on that. What's your take on Emo's Pizza? It's okay. We're not like it's a hot topic of St. Louis. I know.
It is a hot topic. I wouldn't like prefer it. I'll eat it. I probably wouldn't choose it. But
that's
I'm also not a big like pizza person.
Okay.
That you might be the only person on earth that says that.
I know. Yes.
That's funny.
Oh man. Okay. Mikey, you can kind of wrap it up.
Okay. This is a good one for you to end on. Do you have any advice that you would give to any young girls that are chasing their hockey dreams?
Right.
Or field hockey dreams.
Or field hockey. Hockey in general.
Having me here, a little different, unique story. It's just never give up on your dreams if it's like multiple dreams. Like, keep pushing to be unique and different. And I think it's not always going to be easy. And people might not believe in you, but always just believe in yourself, because if you keep doing that, you'll just have confidence and like you'll get to where you want to be. If that's playing two sports, if that's playing one sport, if that's playing three sports, you never know. Like, just keep believing in yourself.
No, that's
amazing.
That is just the cherry on top of the class act you are, because I think it's really cool, and we appreciate you coming on with us, and I'm glad we were able to like share your story to more people that might not know it, and that you can be a dual sport athlete, you can excel in both sports, you can represent your country, you can go on to play professional sports, like, and you did it all coming out of St. Louis. So for those of you that play St. Louis youth hockey, those that are young girls that are playing in youth hockey and you want someone to look up to, I think we found someone that would be perfect for you guys. So that being said, guys, thank you as always for tuning into the 5 Minute Major podcast. And thank you, McKenna. Thank you enough.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Hello, everyone. Welcome here to the 5 Minute Major podcast of STL, presented by Across the Board. Yes, that's right. We are now partnered with Across the Board Handcrafted Unique Entertainment, which is a one-of-a-kind St. Louis-based company that creates some of the best games in the country. They have games ranging from horse racing to NASCAR, baseball to hockey, Across the Board provides quality entertainment for all ages. Here's one of their penny hockey games that we were able to partner with them on. So it has our logo, which is super cool. You can play this game at home. You can display it in your man cave. There's so many different potentials that you can do with these games. But you should check them out, guys.
We couldn't be happier to have Kim McDaniel and her company on as a sponsor or partner. Her and her husband started this company from their garage 17 years ago, and it's blossomed into something so cool and amazing. You will learn lots more about them, so please stay tuned and make sure to check their links in the description below to know more about the McDaniel story and Across the Board.
All right, everyone. That was our interview with McKenna Webster. Claps, man. She was incredible. Her story is incredible. Make sure you check out anything on her because is an absolute stud.
Like, yeah. I'm gonna struggle this year because I was like really feeling Boston Fleet was gonna be my team, but now the New York Sirens. So like,
how can a man from St. Louis root for either of those teams?
Yeah, I mean, so here's the thing, guys. Like, if you are listening, New York Sirens or Boston Fleet, you got a competition. Someone's got to earn the love of our podcast here, and it's really hard because we love you both right now.
So, send us a jersey.
We will rock those jerseys. No, I'm just kidding. but with that, we're gonna hop into some hockey news to wrap us up.
Yeah.
I will start with the first one, which is our bottom one. So the Blues just extended Cam Fowler. We are recording on Saturday, the 27th. Cam Fowler extended for 3 years at $6.1 million. We love it. We are Cam Fowler's support staff here, right?
Oh yeah.
So perfect deal. Is going to be a great bridge deal to get the young defenseman here in a couple years. No one has to rush. And a savvy vet, and like Mike said, he's going to retire a Blue. I know it's probably hard. He probably does retire a Duck. But
yeah, maybe a one-dayer. Yeah.
One-dayer with Anaheim.
Not if he wins a cup here, though.
But when he wins a cup with the Blues, I mean. All right, Mikey, the next one.
J-Bo 2.0.
Oh, it's so true. Like, so
it's
true.
It's uncanny, the comparison. So I'm excited for him. Okay. More big news injuries we're going to roll through. Yeah. Brutal for the Panthers, man. Barkov got helped off the ice on 9/25. He kind of had a collision with Mikula. It wasn't anything crazy. It was just kind of a tough way to fall. Two big boys going at it, two fins. He tore his ACL and MCL. And he's going to be out. So he had surgery the other day. I don't think he plays.
No, they said he's
in the postseason either because with the new rule. Right? Yeah, does that affect this year?
I think that's how it works.
I don't think he's playing.
Well, you have to be cap compliant with the
roster. So if they want to have him on the roster, but he's not going to play, then it's like,
it's going to be interesting. It's crushing. And we've talked about this. Like, we love Barkov. Like, he's one of those guys you can't dislike. He just doesn't do anything that really that makes you mad. And like, if you're a hockey fan, this is just devastating.
Yeah.
And I texted you when we found out about this. I had Florida going back as a for sure lock to go back to the Stanley Cup Finals, in my opinion.
Oh yeah.
This is a lot harder with, you're not going to have Barkov and you're not going to have Tkachuk for a while.
I know, man.
And when Tkachuk comes back, Tkachuk's going to try to play in the Olympics. I have no doubt.
Oh, he has to.
He has to. Yeah. So if you're Bill Zito over in Florida, Jake Roslovic's still out there.
I was just about to say.
You have to get Roslovic.
You have to.
And seriously, which is really cool. Every one of my players right now, I get they're all NHL caliber players, but they've all signed, and they've all signed in good spots.
So maybe they go out and get a Roslovic, and then maybe they make a hockey trade.
Joseph?
Well.
Texier? Well,
sure, yeah, no. But maybe they go out and get like a top six winger. You know, maybe Evan Rodriguez is out now. Maybe Evan Rodriguez is dealt.
And no, they're not dealing him.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
If I'm that, you know who I would love for them to try to go get? Ivan Barbashev.
Dude, God, I don't want anyone else from our former team winning more cups.
That's
true.
That's true.
But it's going to be tough for them, man. Now, I personally don't think they're going to win three in a row. Which is already going to be nearly impossible anyway, but now it's going to be super hard. You don't have the best player on your team to defend the other best players.
But we said that, and they still have Brad Marchand.
Yeah, now he has an elevated.
Brad Marchand just keeps moving up this line. Like they'll figure out a way. That's the part.
I know.
But the hard part is you can replace a winger, in my opinion, easier than you can replace your number one center.
Yeah.
So
Raslovich, you are a Florida Panther.
You are a Florida Panther. We're calling and it now.
Kotkaniemi from the Carolina Hurricanes. You think he gets traded to Florida or something weird like that? You know, it might be like, I'm just saying, I'm just spewing at this point.
Who on Buffalo?
Tage? No. That'd be impossible. Tuck?
Tuck?
You can bring in a Tuck.
But that's another winger.
Yeah, but he fills the void for Tkachuk for a Tkachuk. While. I don't know, man. That's gonna not be bad. Tough for Florida.
That GM, much like Doug Armstrong, I was like, always he's like six steps ahead, and we don't really realize it until he makes a move like this.
It's
and like
true. Signing.
Like he has contingent plan on contingent plan. So they'll figure it out.
Yeah,
so,
it's wild. All right, next one, bud.
All right. Jamie Benn will miss the start of the season due to a collapsed lung. Happened in his game in Minnesota. I didn't even know it happened at first. Crazy.
What does that even mean? I don't understand.
So literally the lung. So basically you can get like sub Q air basically. And it like you have like a negative pressure gradient. Sorry, I'm going to go nerdish here.
No.
So makes sense. Think about like a balloon, essentially, like you're holding it open. But then if there's like a pressure inside or internal that sucks it in and like your lung collapses and it can't expand. So you're not breathing well. And either there's options, you get a chest tube where you get like a needle decompression where they stick a needle in your chest to release the free air that's collapsing your lung.
Okay. So Jamie will be back in a few months. I don't know.
Yeah. Jamie will be, I would say 4 to 6 weeks probably. I don't know. It's hard because like the people I have that have had collapsed lungs, I'm not really worried about them going back and playing a contact sport.
Yeah.
True. So yeah, you know, more power to him, but terrible to have a collapse line. Awful. Not a good feeling.
Awful. I feel bad for Ben. He's a gamer.
Oh, yeah.
All right, the next one. So, newly acquired to the Nashville Predators, Nick Hague, 4 to 6 weeks out with a upper body injury. That is just another blow to the Predators for a little bit. As stinky as they are, they're going to be even more stinky again. So I feel bad for Hague, though. Like, I feel like he was going to get a really good chance to almost be like a top guy on D.
Well, and we were talking about like how important he was going to be.
At least to not be the worst team in the league. You know, I feel like they could be sneaky good, just have that 180 of all 180s like they did last year, but the opposite. But that hurts, man. That really hurts. With an aging roster, too, man, they got to start figuring it out again. Trotz is an interesting GM. He's a genius coach, but as a GM, who knows? He's made some questionable calls.
Yeah, go back and listen to our episode on the Central Division. We talked about that was the biggest question mark was, is Barry Trotz really going to guide him? But moving on to our next one, Kaapo Kakko out 6 weeks after getting a slash and ended up with a broken hand. So
that's not great for Kakko.
Yeah. No, and I hate it for him because he finally found a place that he was meshing.
Yeah.
And then this happens.
That stinks. A month out for Kakko in Seattle for a team that's already mediocre, so that stinks. All right, the next two are going to be quick. Batherson and Anders Lee are both out for a couple weeks with upper body injuries. Not bad. Probably just tweaked something, and they're being cautious, which is okay. But they'll be back. They'll be back for the regular season. All right, next one, bud. This is kind of big.
Yeah, and right before we get into the signings, this is the giant debate, and I think why the players' union in the next collective bargaining sign that they signed preseason is going to be getting shortened. Preseason games are going to get shortened, which it's a double-edged sword. So the young players are not getting an opportunity to try to earn a spot on a roster with less opportunity and less games to play in. But on the other hand, NHL caliber players are not getting hurt in games that don't matter.
It
makes you do wonder if they will shift to the NFL kind of style system where your starters won't play in preseason. I don't know if you can do that without getting your feet under you a little bit. It maybe like they get one game, but it's interesting kind of to think. But jumping into this other news, so this is kind of big news. So Carter Hart and Michael McLeod, likely to be signed in Carolina. It's where it's leaning. I really do think they're. I mean, that would add more depth and some goalie support that team needs.
Carolina, yeah, they should be going for broke right now.
Yeah, it's a win now or bust for Carolina.
Florida has their two top players out now. You have to try and bury them. Like, seriously, it's the only way. Because if you make it to the conference final and have to play them again, you're done. Like, it's just, Florida. It's the Carolina curse. I've also heard that Vegas is really in on Hart. I've been seeing that too, which if I was Hart, I'd rather play in Vegas 100%. But I don't know. People have their opinions. I don't know what city might be better for him. My Carolina might be a better city for him to be in, honestly.
I don't.
The same with Michael McLeod.
He doesn't need a huge mainstream.
Yeah, it's true. Better opportunity. He probably will be able to play some games with them and a team that's really going to be buzzing. So good for them. We'll see what happens out of that one. Yep. All right, another goalie talk. Connor Ingram is cleared waivers. Utah put him on it. He cleared it. No one wants him. What happened, brother? We kind of asked ourselves those questions. He had like a year or two that we were like, okay, like might be Arizona's guy. Like, right? I think he was actually really good.
Yeah.
He had 2 years of almost Vezina caliber goaltending.
Yeah. So Arizona in 22-23 season, played 27 games. Let's see.
Okay. No, not Vezina caliber. I retract that.
No. He won six games, 13 losses. His best season looks like realistically was 23-24 in Arizona, where he started 48 games. He won 23, lost 21, had a 2.91 goals against and a 907.
Six shutouts.
Yeah. I mean, he's not great, not terrible. He's a serviceable NHL goalie, in my opinion. That could be a solid backup.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's a starter, but I think he'd be a decent backup for some teams. He's only 28.
True. I'm surprised, like, a Buffalo didn't give him a call, or, like, a Philly, maybe, even, was like, oh, we might. Pittsburgh needs goaltending.
Edmonton.
Dude, I genuinely don't think Edmonton can even handle the fact of anything but trying to get McDavid to sign. Like, I think Bowman is that bad, where he can't think of two things at once.
Yeah,
and he's so focused on getting McDavid signed that everything else is going to slip under the radar, and the team will just crumble. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen. They're going to be good again this year, but we'll see.
Also, the Blues are just destruction mode right now. Just now it's 3-2 Chicago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Preseason
doesn't count. We don't care. Also,
Vinny out, honestly.
Yeah, honestly. Lastly, the guy we have been talking about nonstop, Mason McTavish, locked up for 6 years at $7 million. I don't know what that issue was. I don't know why it took this long to get this deal done.
How much money did he want? That's what I want to know. How much
I wonder if he wanted like 8 or 9 million. 8.5, 9. Probably it was probably like 9. And then they probably came at it like 6.5 or 5.5, 5.5.
Right. They probably were like, we'll give you 4x5 or something. And he was like, no, I want a freaking 7x9. And they were probably like, no, knowing Verbeek. And then they met in the middle.
Solid deal for both parties. Yeah. I think this is a relatively cheap deal for what he is.
He's going to be top 3 player on the team.
And for the guy that's in our DMs on TikTok about me calling him number one center. Okay, I get it. Leo Carlson's your number one center. But like,
yeah, whatever.
But also, like, you need a number two borderline 1B.
Number one.
Center. And they're locked up.
22.
22. That's the other crazy part. 28 when he's coming off. You said this when we were doing pre-show stuff. Like, 28 coming up for another contract. I don't know if Anaheim's going to have the money at that point to extend him.
But he'll be able to get a 7x11. Oh,
he'll get
something.
A payday. Yeah. If he's on the same trajectory where he's like 30 to 40 goals.
Oh yeah. Well, oh. He can be a 70 to 80 point guy, and that is worth 9 to 10 million with the cap rise.
Yeah. I don't know what his no movement kind of stuff is in this deal. I wasn't able to go through it. There's always that factor into it. So that also goes into the negotiation process.
Right.
Lastly, before we kind of wrap it up, Jacob Slavin, I need to watch the clip though, but talking about with Josh Mason about his conversation about family and Jesus.
Yeah. So I reposted that and posted on my personal story. And, you know, I'm super proud of all of those Hurricanes players, like Stalls, just voicing their opinion and voicing how they feel about their faith is amazing. The backlash is ridiculous. Everybody can believe in what they believe in, and we believe in the Almighty God, and I'm really happy that they are expressing that. And I'm happy that Slavin got the opportunity to be like a messenger to Chatfield and help him go through, you know, baptism and all that. Like, that's crazy awesome. And God is good, in my opinion. Even in my opinion, he's just good.
And this is the thing. So I got the opportunity to meet Jacob Slavin at the All-Star game. Awesome, man. In St. Louis, one of the nicest, most considerate, like down to earth, didn't care that I walked up and asked for a picture. He was like, yeah, man, I would love to get a picture with you. And just like, without a doubt, like salt of the earth kind of player.
Yeah.
And he's probably my favorite player on Carolina. He's probably one of my favorite players in the National Hockey League, in my opinion. And one of the most underappreciated, underrated defensemen, I would say, for Team USA as well.
Yeah, he's like the main reason there's a topic of having more than one defensive trophy every year. Like,
oh yeah,
McCarr's gonna win it every year.
McCarr's gonna win it.
People are like, oh, we need a defensive defenseman trophy. Like, yeah, because Jacob Slavin would win that one every year. So it's pretty incredible. And I mean, I think the Hurricanes might technically be my second team, just because of the way they handled themselves.
Come on, man. Like, the water's great. We'll take you.
I mean, it's not even because I like the way they play the game. I think it's just the players themselves.
The players, the coach. Incredible. Like, I love Rob Brendamore.
Rod the Bod's awesome.
Rod's the man.
Yeah.
So, also, Carolina Hurricanes, if you want to give us a shout out, we would we'll love to cover you guys more, too.
We'll get Slavin on, you know.
Yeah, well, I'll work on getting Jacob Slavin. But that being said, guys, we couldn't do this without you guys supporting us, listening to us, and it's been a fun ride, and we're just getting started. Check out our sports writing website at stlhockeynews.com, and be sure to tune into more videos and episodes. We are talking and in the processes of trying to see if we can do live stream post game coverage.
Yeah, that would be a lot
hockey
of fun.
Games. So we have a lot more to come. We are pouring as much time and effort into this as we can.
Yeah.
And, hopefully we will also be having some stuff with Across the Board coming out soon. Just we're going to keep giving it all she's got. And, as always, Mikey,
let's go Blues. Right. Season's up, baby. Let's go.